The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Welcome to episode 151 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill. No Steve Cowan today, but I am joined by Raith Rovers and Manchester City legend Gordon Dalziel. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely brilliant. Good weekend of football. Really looking forward to this podcast. Do you know, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only show I've ever in my career watched back.
Oh, really? Did you watch back last week?
Yeah.
And why, what made you do that? What compelled you to do that?
I've got to be honest, I stumbled on it, right?
Yeah.
And I thought I was quite bored. I was sitting watching TV and I stumbled on it on my phone. I pressed it and I started getting into it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
thinking, right, okay, Stephen Mill, not bad, making good points. But even as a player,
mm-hmm.
I never watched a game back. I've never listened to any shows I've ever been involved in.
Really?
And this is the first one, yeah, because it's a well-known fact that I'm a very nervous person. I used to be sick before every football game.
Yeah.
So as much as people think you've got this confidence about you that people don't really know you.
Yeah. So before every football game, you used to have a wee spew.
Yeah. And sometimes I would even have to stop in the pitch and sort of, I know that. And that's why I couldn't eat a pre-match meal.
I can't believe I'm about to compare you to Zinedine Zidane, but
yeah.
I remember,
all
I think
the great players.
Zidane was taking a penalty against England at the Euros in 2004, I think it was. John, you might be able to back me up here. And England were winning 1-0. And France scored twice in about 90 seconds. And the second one was a penalty. And Zidane spewed before the penalty and then got up and then rattled it in.
Yeah, listen, I've seen a few players like that. The lad John McDonald that played with Rangers scored a lot of goals. John was terrible as well. I remember playing Aberdeen, this is true. Remember Stuart Kennedy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, we're playing at Pittodrie. And I was quite pacey when I was young. And the ball went down, he played right back, went down. In behind, and I'm running and I'm going as fast as I can. I spewed all over him.
You spewed all over Stuart. Sure,
you could see his face.
So even when you were on the pitch, were
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Right. So I thought it was one of those things that before it, obviously, you would get nervous before a big game or anything. But surely once you got on the pitch and you got going, you were all right.
I've been known to throw up in the pitch as well, mate.
So even like, wait a minute, so you were a youngster then, but mm-hmm. go back to like the League Cup final, Coca-Cola Cup final.
Terrible.
So you spewing all the way through it?
incredible, honest to God. You have no idea. That's why there was a part of me hated playing football, because most of my time was the nerves and the adrenaline. I couldn't sleep on a Friday night because uh-huh. I had the, I don't know if any player does this, you go to bed and you think, right, I need a good 8 hours sleep. And then you would not sleep for the first hour and you'd go, I've only 7 hours. And then you go, I've only 6 hours. And I've only 5 hours.
And it just gets worse and worse.
I've got to be tired. I'll have no energy. And then I used to go to... I went to see a lad who sort of put me in a sort of a this situation where I would try and put myself into a trance with going to a safe place.
Like a hypnotherapist?
Yeah, on a Friday night and an odd sleeping tablet and stuff like that.
Mate, so this was all the way through your career?
The way through my career.
That's mental.
It was horrendous. And people look at you and think, oh, he's not got a care in the world. He would be very confident lad. I'm the most nervous person in the world.
So even when you were what about when you were a manager?
Oh, I never watched one penalty.
Oh, really? So you would just turn your back?
I would turn and I would watch the crowd. Right? And I would have loved one day for my own fans just to stitch me up and jump up. I would jump up and celebrate and they missed.
I mean, if there's any psychologist listening to this, they'd be having an absolute field day now.
I don't think I'm alone in this.
No. I'm not saying that at all, but I think that's a fascinating insight into your brain.
I tell the best story, and this is a true story. I made my debut. I always wanted to play in an Old Firm game. And I played at 18 with Celtic Park. And this is a true story. And I was in the toilet and I literally couldn't get off my knees. I was that sick, mm-hmm. right? And I was terrible. I was throwing up. And the physio came in and he says, what are you doing? You better get... The players are in the tunnel. And I turned round and I wasn't even joking. I don't even know what came in my mind. I turned round and I said, can they not just start without me? An Old Firm game. And I scored after 5 minutes.
And then when you scored, did you feel at ease after that? Or
yeah,
like...
but there was part of the game that I still, it would come on me. And I would think, oh my God, I'm going to be sick here. And I couldn't eat a pre-match meal or anything before games. It was ridiculous. I couldn't do it. And I was in my, every game.
Aye.
I'm talking about if I was playing a cup game against East Stirling, for instance.
Yeah.
I'd still be the same.
You'd still be the same. I would still, no matter the magnitude of the game, it didn't matter.
No. And I've carried that on. I seen myself when I started this programme of Super Scoreboard about 15 years ago, yeah. 14 years ago. Oh my God, I used to sit in that car park and be ill. The thought, and that's why I've never watched anything. I never listened back to anything. I never get myself, the minute I leave, that's it. I don't, and see if somebody's sitting beside me and they play.
Yeah.
I tell them immediately, turn that off. And this was your only programme, and I watched it.
And you watched it, and you enjoyed it?
I loved it.
There you go. Listen, we're breaking down barriers for you.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing. How are you, Producer John? You all right?
Good, thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, you get nervous before you do this podcast in case I absolutely rip you?
All the time, that's why I sweat so much.
That's it. You're just sweating like a pig through there. So, how was your weekend? Was it all right, John?
It's been a bit of a nightmare. I'm honest. I'm going to be honest with you, Stephen. The internet across the Larborough area is out.
Of course it is. I mean, when did you? To be fair, it's a new thing in that area, isn't it? So you've only had internet for a couple of months.
So obviously, having to deal with two teenagers without internet. Ooh. I thought I was going to have to get the Scrabble out at one point.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
I thought I was going to have to go old school. But it's really interesting watching telly old school. You know, before the days of streaming, you had to wait for a TV show to come on. So it's been a weekend of flicking across the channels looking for something to watch.
Flicking across five channels, pretty much, as well. Yeah, a lot of Jane McDonald getting watched on Channel 5. That's probably what was happening.
Channel 5 has some really shit programmes, don't they?
Channel 5 has a lot. You're a big telly watcher, Daz?
No, I'm more of a sort of a look at films and...
All right, okay.
Did you think I was going to say something
else? I honestly had no
films,
idea what was about to come out of your mouth.
Sort of a series, stuff like that.
All right, okay, so what's your series box set at the moment? You got anything on the go?
Ach, mate, I've watched absolutely everything. I'm very much into crime.
Okay, right. Like, have you watched the Ed Gein thing on Netflix?
Too dark for me.
Yeah.
I started watching that, right?
Aye.
And I thought to myself, this is too dark for me.
It's a bit grim.
Yeah, I love the mafia mobster sort of a...
There's a new one on Netflix about the Philadelphia mafia.
Just watch it.
Have you?
Completed it. It's brilliant.
It's right. Okay.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love all that sort of thing. Crime, murders, gangster things.
Have you watched The Sopranos?
Oh, yeah.
Aye, Sopranos.
I'm that bad, I watched Tulsa King.
Is it shite?
It's beyond shape, but I still want
it. Is it, what's his name? Sly Stallone in it. Yeah, I've seen it advertised.
Yeah, I've got a sad life.
You don't, right? Anyway, thanks for all your feedback last week. Remember, you can leave your comments wherever you are in the world. Let us know. We've got listeners for all over the world, like Super Scoreboard does as well.
Where's the furthest away?
New Zealand, Australia.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Did you play in Australia?
I played, I told a great story in Super Scoreboard. I lied, which, not like me. I've made a career out of life. And I jumped on the bandwagon when Postecoglou came to Celtic. So I thought to myself, hold on a minute, he's round about roughly the same age as me.
Yeah.
I've been in Australia, he's been in Australia. Right?
You must have bumped into each other at some point.
So I've told the lads on Super Scoreboard, I says, by the way, he was a very good player. How do you know? I says, a player that played against him, very hard opponent to play against, blah, blah, blah.
Who did you play with?
So I played with South Melbourne. I actually played with Postecoglou. He was my same team.
Are you bullshitting or are you actually?
That John will tell you. John, you can verify this.
True story.
It's 100% right. I forgot I played. So I bullshitted it, right?
Yeah.
And I said I played against him.
You bullshitted to the truth.
Yeah, and it was David Friel, right? They investigate it. You know what, like these boys are going, he's telling lies.
Yeah.
And Gordon Duncan ousted me and says, by the way, you're lying about that. And I thought, right, okay, I've been caught. He went, you actually played with them. And they showed a photo of the team sheet and Postecoglou.
NDL on the same team. But do you not remember anything about them?
No, not a thing. But I played a few games and put him in.
I wonder if he remembers you though.
He probably will, because I had the worst reputation in the world in Australia.
What part of your career was this then?
I was at Raith Rovers at the time, and it was during close season.
Right.
They phoned me up and asked me to go over. I went over because I was making that much money that I was going to put it down a deposit in the house.
Right, okay.
Right? That's the only reason I went. I went over there.
So what are we talking here? Like mid-90s or something like that?
Yeah. And I was there for eight... I was supposed to be there for 8 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I must have turned up for two games. But what the problem was they gave me all my cash at the beginning. Right.
Rookie era.
Very much a rookie era, especially with DL. So they gave me... So I'm over there, and this is true. I'm over there, and I thought, right, that money will put a nice deposit down in my house... New house, brilliant, blah, blah, blah. I was married to my first wife at the time.
Yeah.
I arrived back in Glasgow Airport 8 weeks later, owned $200 to a friend in Australia.
You'd absolutely blown the law.
I come back in debt.
South Melbourne FC almost bankrupt Gordon DL. So there you are. Stuart McLaughlin says, great to see Lou Carpenter for Neighbours on the 150th episode. Didn't realise he knew so much about Scottish football. You'll get that all the time.
I'm very much a Lou Carpenter man.
Yeah. Hello to, I don't even know how to say her, Dunedin Nan, I think we're saying. Probably the most honest, knowledgeable, and unbiased pundit out there in Scotland at the moment. Well done, sir.
Is that Steve Cowan? Is that me?
I think it's talking about you. DMM McDonald. Totally agree with Gordon and Stephen. All well and good us having a go at the board. They totally deserve it. This is in regards to the Celtic, obviously. They deserve all the criticism they're getting. But we're now at a point that it's probably not unreasonable to start questioning the manager as well. There's no drive, intensity, spark in the side at all. Could have played all day against Dundee and still not scored. As Gordon said, it's far too slow. It's nowhere near good enough, and both the manager and players have to start taking some responsibility. We are there for the taking, big time. Great podcast as always. And Stig Hunter is asking, why do they wear headphones or earphones? So we can hear
John.
Everything. And John,
they can hear me now, you see.
Because this is actually we do the podcasting here, but this is actually a radio studio as well, so you can do and we need to be able to hear what's going out on air. So that's a very basic answer to a very basic question, to be honest with you.
There you go, everything answered. Can I just say as well, my brother noticed something last week from you, Gordon DL, right? And he sent me this video. Have you seen the show The Wire, Daz? There's a very famous scene in it where the two, McNulty and I can't remember the other detective, but they're kind of just say the same word over and over. They keep going, fuck, fuck, right?
Oh, I don't swear.
Well, you say you don't swear. My brother noticed there was a particular section of last week's podcast where you just said the one word over and over again. I'm going to play it to you, see if you can hear it.
It's your true story. And I'm looking at that squad and they are shit. They're dug meat, right? They are, honestly, pardon me, they are shit beyond shit. Right? Shit was even better than what these guys were. He is the shittest of the shit. Was he not midfielder? Mid, and he was rank rotten, right? He was in the shite team. Right?
Five questions.
Wow, I'm shit at questions.
Have you got an answer done?
I bet shit.
Get out, Stephen.
That's a shit question. Am I beat?
You're beat.
That shit, that bit of the question.
I mean, so what was the word?
when was the first shit, though? The first shit wasn't until,
it was this morning at 7.
I'm sure it was so far on in the podcast. I'm just listening back there. That must have been, what were we talking about there? You were talking about Raith Rovers. It must have been 45 minutes in.
Right.
And then you just went, it was a shitstorm for then on.
Producer John, see my excuse, right? Now, remember, I was drafted in here, so I didn't really know how this show goes.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, it's a little bit Super Scoreboard. You can't really say words that would get you in trouble. But then I picked up on you saying a few, and I'm thinking, Oh, a license. A license to get the shit word out there.
No, listen, it's podcast world. You can say whatever you want.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
It's the Wild West.
Right.
So as long as you don't conflate them, because if you go on Super Scoreboard and swear, then you're in big trouble.
Exactly. See, I was a sheep. I followed.
Yeah.
Right. I followed your example.
Yeah. No, that's fine. You can say...
Right. I'm not going to say shit... I will not say shit.
That's the final shit of the week.
Shit no more.
Right, okay, more shit. Right, that's okay. Fine. Right, here's what's been happening in the last week. Danny Lennon, we were talking about him last week, sacked as Airdrie manager. I was at the Dunfermline game at Airdrie on Tuesday night, and Airdrie were... shit. So it wasn't any surprise that he was sacked, to be perfectly honest with you. But 8 games is, you know, that's nothing. But the fans weren't happy. You know, they may as well just bite the bullet.
It's a modern day management situation now, isn't it? See, you're a manager now. There's two things you look at when you get into a football club: entry and exit.
Mm-hmm.
What you get when you get in, what you get when you get out, because it's going to come as soon as.
How does it work then? Like, see, when you're sacked, like obviously, like you've not been a manager for a wee while now, but. Mm. Do you agree that before you go in, is it in your contract that you say you sign a 3-year contract and they bin you after one? You're not getting 2 years, are you?
No. Some managers, it depends how powerful you are, right? I would imagine that Brendan Rodgers come back to Celtic, probably 3-year contract.
He's getting a lot.
He's getting the full. But what usually happens is you get in a 3-year contract, there'll be a clause in it, 12-month.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if they sack you in December, you've got 12 months money.
Yeah.
Right, so...
And is there sort of like, we'll give you 12 months money, but you can't take another job in that time, or you forfeit the money, or stuff like that? Yeah,
it's called gardening. Yeah. So the minute you get that job, you've got 12 months money. If you pick up another job in 3 months, cancelled. You're back to your working wage. So that's the way clubs work. The word that is, we've signed a new 3-year deal. That's to keep the club. Obviously, if the manager's doing well, they've got the security of the 3-year deal. But in that clause, and plus the fact there'll be a clause as well, if you're a top manager, it'll say, right, okay, you're putting that clause in 12 months. If another team comes in for me, that's a fee. It's like a player.
Right, okay. Right.
So there's a lot to do with contracts, especially if you're a manager.
Fair enough. Danny Rule has been appointed as Rangers manager. I think that's how we're meant to say it. We'll get to his first game, obviously, yesterday in just a wee bit. Elsewhere, Hamilton have been deducted another 6 points. Fine some more as well. Paying trialists and amateur players at the start of the season. And I think, unfortunately, I mean, they're obviously doing pretty well on the pitch under John Rankin, but they keep getting deducted points, which isn't very helpful. And I think there's more coming down the line as well. Aberdeen absolutely pumped in Europe, same as Rangers. Celtic did beat Sturm Graz, but it came at a cost. Cameron Carter-Vickers ruled out for 5 months. Iheanacho and Alistair Johnson also picked up injuries as well. And we'll get straight to that because... It obviously did affect them yesterday. It was the game of the weekend at Tynecastle. It was Hearts 3, Celtic 1. And we said on the podcast last week, are Hearts favourites going into the game? The bookies didn't have them as favourites.
No.
Bookies had them about 2-1. But Hearts deserved that victory yesterday. Huge problems at Celtic, but let's focus on Hearts for just a wee bit. You said, I said this last week on another podcast, there is no chance that Hearts are going to win the league. No chance, not a chance. You and Derek Ferguson got into a wee bit of a rumble about that. Are you re-evaluating that opinion now?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And everybody touches on, well, look at Aberdeen last year, right? We're not even out of October yet. But you look at the squad that Hearts have got,
Mm-hmm.
You look at the backup, you look at... Come January, if they're still up there, and they probably will be because they're a very good side, then the investment, Tony Bloomhill put more money in there and add to that squad. Yeah, I think you've got to look, especially, know the reason I'm saying yes now, because I look at the state of the other big two. I look at Celtic and Rangers just now. They are not in great places. I know Rangers got that win that they needed yesterday, but if you look at Celtic, they've got to January. There are a lot of their top players missing. We've seen the backup yesterday. You see...
I mean, James Forrest came on and looked about their best player.
Yeah.
And what is he, 34, 35?
Yeah, and people are now starting to turn on Brendan Rodgers. I think there's both sides of the argument. Yeah, I totally understand the board side about the recruitment. Got all that, and agree. with Celtic fans. You're a manager of Celtic. Now, it's okay saying, well, we've lost three or four big players, but you've got a squad millions and millions of pounds worth, mate, right? Mm-hmm. So if they can't come in and play against Hearts or Dundee and whatever, what are they doing playing with Celtic? Why are they picking up? And these guys will be picking up good money. You know, it's not like they're on a couple of grand a week. These guys will be on decent figures.
You're right. Like, both things can be true. Like, I think it's pretty widely acknowledged Celtic had an absolute shocker of a transfer window in the summer. Even in January last year, they didn't replace Kyogo. The summer before, they brought in Engels, Ida and Trusty for, what, 30 million or whatever it was. So it's been successive rubbish transfer windows from Celtic. However, Brendan Rodgers and the players need to take some responsibility. And to be fair, I actually thought the first half Celtic played all right. I thought like they wobbled the first 5-10 minutes, Hart scored. But as soon as Hart scored, I actually thought Celtic got a grip of the game. And to give him credit, I know he's been getting a lot of heat this season. I thought Callum McGregor took the game with the scruff of the neck and obviously got the equaliser. And for about a good 25 minutes after that, half an hour, I thought Celtic looked like they were the team that were going to go on and win it. However, Hearts picked the tempo back up again and then, you know, absolutely steamrolled in the second half. But surely these Celtic players have to take some responsibility, and surely Brendan Rodgers, as an elite manager, should be getting more out of the players to beat Hearts and beat Dundee and not be second in the table, not be adrift with, what, 8 points now? Whatever it is.
Yeah. I'm looking at Celtic just now and the way they're playing. If Hibs keep their form up, Celtic will be lucky to finish third. I totally agree with you. I looked at the game yesterday, and I was one that always was pointing this season to Callum McGregor. After about 10 minutes, McGregor was brilliant, and I'm thinking to myself, Hearts are getting overrun the middle of the park because they'd a 3v2 in their Celtic, and McGregor was finding all the space in the world, gets the good goal, gets back in the game. He's dominating the game. Celtic should have probably went in front, knee green at the back post.
Yeah, of course.
Right, okay, people will put that down to a brilliant save, you can argue, but both, that's no problem. But second half, Derek McInnes, basically, easiest tactic in the world, stop McGregor getting on the ball, and they absolutely pummeled Celtic. Celtic were all over the place. And you're right with Brendan Rodgers, I listened to Brendan Rodgers' interview after it, a bit disappointed the way he handled the Hearts situation, how they play, right? That's nothing to do with Brendan Rodgers. Hearts play to their style, play to their players. They're a good team. They've got terrific players all over the park. Brendan Rodgers touched on, we're a fast-flowing football team. That's why we win leagues, right? Now, I'm not going to pick an individuals here because I think the majority of Celtic players are terrible just now. Guys like Hatate and all these boys, Ingles, and they're not there. Johnny Kenny up front showed yesterday to me that, unfortunately for the boy, he's not going to take Celtic anywhere, right? He's not a Celtic player. You look at the full-back position, Donovan, I know what you're saying, young player up and down, same, right? Go and watch the game again, right? Go and watch a game again. And focus on the big lad who had a terrible game, Dane Murray, right? And I quite like Dane Murray, and I'm not picking on young players because it's hard to get into that environment, but you're a Celtic player, you need to handle it. And go and watch how many times he passes the ball back to Schmeichel. It's incredible. It's unbelievable.
And is that lack of confidence? Is that just lack of belief? Or is that lack of ability? Or is it all three?
I don't think it's lack of ability. I think the boy's got ability, right? You see the goal, right? He hits it.
Yeah.
He just panics, doesn't he? There's no need to panic, right? We've seen it before. You see the decision, he goes in for a penalty kick. What are you doing? And then the worst one, see if you see the goal, for the shot.
Yeah.
Right? If you watch him, he ducks out the way.
Yeah.
He ducks out the way. And I'm thinking, be brave. Just put your body in front of that. You're saving Schmeichel. It's not got to be a goal. He just had a very, very poor day. And it's very easy to pick on him because you look at the young players. Did they come in and make an impact? For me, no. Right? But it was always got to be a hard game. But they need help for the experienced players.
You mentioned Hatate there. Like, Hatate, when he first came in, under Postecoglou looked about the best midfielder in the country.
Can he pass the ball?
What's going on? What's happened?
They look like... Do you know another thing, and this sounds really silly as a pundit, you're looking at players, they don't look happy at their work, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. See, when you watch Celtic in full stride, there's a bit about them, you know, and you can see that enjoyment of dominating, passing, and getting the ball moved quickly, getting chances, scoring goals. They just look... They look miserable. The manager looks miserable. I know this sounds mental. The manager even looks miserable.
I don't think that does sound mental at all, because I think you're absolutely spot on. I mean, Brendan Rodgers, even his interviews, I don't know, like, obviously there's so much going on between him and the board, right, that's been well documented and well reported on, that, you know, we don't need to go into it at this moment in time because everybody knows the chat. But something has to give here. Something's going to have to give, because if they get to January and Rodgers is still there, still in charge, are they wanting to give Brendan Rodgers another $25 million to spend in January? Because looking at that squad, they need that kind of money. Now, Celtic have got the money, like they've got plenty of money, so they can do that. However, the board are looking at Rodgers and going, well, we're not giving you $25 million to spend, but we're also not willing to sack him as well. So something has to give there. And, you know, we're also getting to the stage as well where Celtic are 8 points behind. It's obviously the League Cup next weekend. Hearts play Dundee next Saturday. Now, no offence to Dundee, you would expect Hearts to win there. So you could have a situation. I know there's games on Wednesday night. Hearts are away to St Mirren, which will not be easy. Celtic are home to Falkirk. So there could be a situation where Hearts could be 8-11 or 5-8-11 or even 14 points clear. Come next weekend, and if Rangers go and beat Celtic in the League Cup semi-final, where does that leave Brendan Rodgers?
I think this is really an important time for Brendan Rodgers, and you've got Europe thrown into that as well, right into the mix. I think Brendan Rodgers is coming in for some criticism from the Celtic fans, and I totally agree with that. Listen, I've got sympathy as for a manager that you sit there and you think, look, we're cash rich, I want X, Y, and Z, but you look at even the bench he's got millions of pounds worth of players. My big question mark, and I think a lot of Celtic fans would echo this as well, I think Bernardo is a very good player. He doesn't seem to even think about putting him on.
Why'd they sign him though? I don't understand this though. Like, even with, I know Engels has come back into the squad and I know he's been injured and stuff, but if you're spending £11 million on the boy, play him.
He can't even get on as a sub.
Exactly. And same with Bernardo. £5 million or whatever it was for Bernardo.
Yeah. Like, Bernardo, for me, I think can offer something, right? I think he's a good player. He's technically got everything in his locker. But he doesn't even get an opportunity. And the right-hand side, they're all over the place. They brought Forrest on. And to be fair to James Forrest, he looked lively. He was the only one that actually looked lively at that time. But you see their backup. Balaguisha comes on again. He's my project. He's my project, right? The minute he comes on, I forget about everything in the screen apart from him. I actually got up in the living room and look around the corner of the telly to see if I can see him, right? Just to see what he's doing. And I'm thinking, you're stealing a wage, mate. You must be going to the cash line and doing the conga all the way there, right, before you press in the buttons. Because I have not seen anything in this guy that says he's a Celtic football player for me, right? So there's a lot going on there, and there's a lot of problems. But you're right. What do they do in January? See me, if I was in Celtic on Celtic board, you'd need to sit down and get to a situation going, this isn't going right here, right? The fans are... They're up my arms with us. Everything. They're having a go to us. They're having a go at the players. They're having a... The full thing's a mess, right? Mm-hmm. It's a mess for Celtic. And they're not... Never... It's a long time since they've been in this position. The board have got to sit down for me and say, right, has Brendan Rodgers got to be our manager long term? If not, then I think they need to start looking at replacements for Brendan Rodgers. I don't want any manager to get the sack. It's not... I'm not here to do that. But... you've got to look forward now. He's not getting a tune out of these players. These players are going back a country mile, mate.
Well, I was just going to say, see, before the Scottish Cup final, I think we were even talking about in this podcast about, you know, oh, Celtic are getting another, they're going to win another treble, a tedious treble and all the rest of it. Celtic fans were going absolutely off their rockers at us, saying, oh, you're just jealous and blah, 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 blah. Celtic didn't win the Scottish Cup, as we know. Aberdeen won it. Now, you know, whether they deserve to or not is a different story. Aberdeen's name's on the cup and that's it. Mm-hmm. Since that moment in time, Celtic have fallen off a cliff. Completely fallen off. That was only five. We're sitting here, what, 27th of October? The Scottish Cup final was the 26th or the 27th, I'm sure. So 5 months almost to the day since the Scottish Cup final. Mm-hmm. And Celtic look an absolute shadow of the team they were 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
I would probably say just now, I would like to see how far back I could go to say, right now, watching them at the weekend, the worst Celtic team I've seen in a long, long time. And I think a lot of people has got to agree with that.
You know, there's obviously there's the season that Rangers won to stop 10 in a row. They were honking that season as well. So
you could go back as far as that. And that's not like Celtic, right? Celtic, and Brendan Rodgers is right. Brendan Rodgers said yesterday, we won trophies by fast-flowing football. There's no fast-flowing football, mate. Go and watch that game yesterday. Apart, you stop Callum McGregor on the ball, Celtic have got nothing, right? And I was critical of Callum McGregor, but I thought yesterday when Hearts allowed him that 3-2 in the middle of part, first half especially, he was brilliant. Moved the ball, he got the goal, he led by example. Then the second half, Derek McInnes just said, right, make sure he doesn't go on the ball and we'll win the game. And that's what happened.
Here's to take it back to Hearts. Are Hearts favourites to win the league?
Got to be. I know it's early. Look, this sounds crazy. If you gave me my pound to put on, I don't know why, because I've no evidence whatsoever apart from it's Celtic and they know how to get there. I'd still basically just slide over to Celtic just now, right?
Right.
But I'm more and more getting convinced by looking at Hearts, looking at the players, looking at the squad, everything about the manager, I'm thinking, this could be your year. You won't get a better chance.
I was going to say, there's a lot of people saying that Hearts will never, ever get a better chance to win the league based on, you know, how well they're playing, but also how poor Celtic and Rangers are. However, like, I think a wee bit of sort of realism needs to be injected into this as well, because right, Celtic can still go out and spend £25 million, £30 million in January, get a new manager in. I would go as far to say, even if Hearts have a double-digit lead in January, I still wouldn't make them favourites for the league. If Celtic get their acting in gear.
Right. There's a couple of arguments to that. I know what you're saying, right? Celtic,
like, the financial advantages are, I think, is right, underplayed a lot of the time. Celtic have a huge advantage compared to everyone
right
else.
Celtic spent 30 million on three players. Well, just under 30 million, right? One's already away. Trusty can't even get in front of Dane Murray. Ingles is in and out the team. I thought he played very well on Thursday, give the boy credit for that. But his form's been up and down. So it doesn't matter if you've got the money. You can get there and buy another three players at £30 million that ain't going to change. You look at some of the players I brought in. Bargawicher, what's he? £5
million?
Yep. Mate.
I mean, totally. You need to get the recruitment right. And this is what I think as well. I think Rodgers...
But Hearts are getting it right. Have a look at what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that argument to say, well, Celtic are going to buy their sell out of trouble in January, that doesn't stack up unless you are spot on with your recruitment. And if you look at the recruitment in the summer, what they brought in, have they been spot on?
No. They've been terrible.
There you go.
No, absolutely. Completely. They need to get their recruitment right. However, I still think Celtic have a huge advantage over everyone else in the league. And I'd go as far to say, if Hearts win the league and Brendan Rodgers remains the Celtic manager, you know, Brendan Rodgers has effectively lost a one-horse race, which is, I mean, Celtic should be nowhere near this position. Hearts should be nowhere near Celtic, all things being equal.
Yeah, if Hearts win the league, Brendan Rodgers won't be a Celtic manager.
Well, no, obviously not. No, yeah. I think Rodgers is done. I honestly think Celtic are at the stage where they need to move him on. They need to move him on.
You wonder if that great statement from whoever said it is coming back to Brendan Rodgers, because I think everybody's looking at Brendan Rodgers thinking he's working his ticket here.
Yeah.
And I think Celtic fans will agree with that. Listen, I take on your argument with Celtic because they know how to get the job done. I heard Brendan Rodgers yesterday and I heard him before when he was under a little bit of pressure a few years ago when he says, look, give it to me, let's see me. They know how to get the job done. Just at this moment in time, I'm looking at a team that's in real, real trouble. Now, you keep going and we keep saying it, they're too good. Have a look at the players. There are too many good players there.
It also relies on Hearts keeping their form up as well,
yeah,
which is not a given. You know, like Hearts have had an amazing start to the season, but they're going to hit a sticky patch at some point. All teams do. And it's how they get through that, how long that sticky patch is and how they come out the other side.
Yeah, but here's where I think Derek's got a slight advantage now for Hearts, right? The competition for places is really hotting up, right? You look at that bench that Hearts have got. They're bringing on some good players, mate.
No, they are.
Right, they're bringing on some good players. They're not bringing players on, you're thinking, he would never get in the starting 11. There's a lot of them. And the starting 11's looking at that bench thinking, I need to be on it.
Do you know what's interesting as well? There's a lot of players there who have been there previously, like obviously Devlin and your man Beningame in the midfield. He's been there for a couple of seasons. What's his name?
Halkett's
been there. He's obviously brought in Stuart Finlay to play alongside him, the left back, whose name I've completely forgotten. The left back, Scottish guy, Kingsley. You know, like he's been there for a couple of years. They've obviously brought in Harry Milne as well, who was at Partick Thistle last season, who's done really well. Shanklin's been there for a wee while. They haven't actually, they have brought in players, but it's added competition. But there was already good players in the building there at Hearts, let's be honest, which probably shows you how much they've underachieved over the past couple of years.
But Derek's tweaked the formation as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The keeper's made a big difference.
Yeah, he's tweaked and the two centre-halves, right? Yeah. So they've looked like they're enjoying their partnership.
Yeah.
And if you go down the years, partnerships at centre-halves, years gone by, they were the ones that won you leagues because they were solid with the goalkeeper. You know what I mean? Very hard to get by, very hard to beat. And they look like they've got that wee triangle between them and it's working brilliantly for them. And now, you're right, Hearts could take a dip. I'm not saying Hearts are world beaters, but right now, the one thing I will say about Hearts is they're in a brilliant place. And if you're a Jambo, you're enjoying going along and watching this.
Absolutely. 3-1 it finished at Tynecastle yesterday. Same scoreline at Ibrox as well. Rangers get their first home win for a very long time. Chermiti even managed to get on the score sheet as well. His first goal in 2.5 years. And so obviously Rangers needed to win yesterday. They got the job done. They took the lead. They got pegged back a wee bit second half. Came out. I know you watched quite a lot of the game as well, Daz. So what did you make of it?
It was a win that they needed, one under the new manager, especially his first game at Ibrox. Haven't won there for ages. I thought they got off to a good start. Front foot. He changed one or two positionings. He dropped one or two. I think it was four changes he made. Perfect start. Look, Kilmarnock get back into the game and you're thinking, oh, here we go again. It was a win that they certainly needed. And Chermiti, as you say, he needed a goal and he got that goal. And you wonder if he'll kick on from that. Majovski replaced again. Danilo, you know what I mean? He was right down the pecking order and he seems to do that. You just wonder if he gets his goal. As a striker, getting goals breeds confidence. So you think, right, okay, I can kickstart my career here. I'll be interesting to see going forward. But I'm not taking anything away from Rangers. I'm not, right? And I'm not in a Monday morning mood to pick in players, but...
You're going to pick in another player, aren't
you? This guy's getting it. yeah. Someone, and I'm not saying, oh, he should never play again or whatever. Talk me through the Kilmarnock goalkeeper, mate.
Yeah.
He's found a pair of gloves in his wheelie bin and he's put them on and turned up at Ibrox. I would love to know what the Kilmarnock fans, I'm thinking this boy, I don't know what this boy's doing. Right, even, did you see the one he comes out and he kicks it off the back of Canelas?
Yeah, he didn't have a great game.
He had a poor game.
He did have a poor game.
But listen, take nothing away. Rangers, good result. They've got a difficult one.
I was going to say Hibs at Easter Road on Wednesday.
Cracker, innit?
That's going to be a bigger test for them, isn't it?
Oh, massive, especially after Hibs' good result yesterday. They're a real threat, Hibs. They're a good side. The Edinburgh sides are doing very well.
I'm just looking at the table now. You know, Hibs are only 3 points behind Celtic. Rangers are only 5 points behind Celtic, which gives you an indication as to how poor both of them have been. But Hibs are right in about the chat for second and third and all the rest of it as well. Hibs are a decent side.
Oh yeah, you seen that yesterday. They were comfortable against Aberdeen. They're at their own patch. That'll be a big test for Rangers.
And your man Caligi's coming in as well.
He's a good player, isn't he?
And I think a lot of people were like, right, we've paid £1.5 million for this boy.
He's a good player.
He took a wee while to get into the team, but now he's in the team. You know, he's starting in front of Martin Boyle as well, and gets in the score sheet again yesterday. Juan obviously getting the goal that sealed it in the end. Aberdeen did pull a late one back. But 3 wins in the last 5 at Pittodrie for Hibs. And Hibs have drawn a lot of games this season. Mm. That's been their Achilles heel. If they turn a couple of more of those into wins, then all of a sudden you would have had both Edinburgh sides at the top.
You can
of the
argue
table.
They've got a good squad as well.
I think Hibs have got a really good squad.
Caligi's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He brings something. I wondered, £1 million for Hibs, a big investment. I think he's well worth it. And you're rightly saying, Boyle and Bowie were on fire at the beginning of the season. Boyle's coming off the bench now. That showed you the strength and depth. You've got good experience at the back. Hanlon in there, I think, does a brilliant job for him.
Hanlon's not been at Hibs for a bit.
Hanley. Do you know something? I do this in Super Scoreboard as well.
To be
Hanley.
Fair, I do
all the time.
I totally forgot that Grant Hanley had signed with Hibs there.
Yeah,
so
Hanley.
No, Hanley and Hanlon, that's fine.
I do it all the time.
Why you've mixed them up. Yeah.
That's my Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And obviously, Midley Park, they've got something about them in the Midley Park. They'll fancy their chance. I'm looking forward to it. That's a real good game.
Aberdeen, though, absolutely slaughtered in Europe during the week. 6-0. Beaten at home yesterday. It's back to under pressure time for Jimmy Tilleen. They play their next 2 matches away to Kilmarnock, and then obviously they've got the Cup semi-final next week. So, do they?
Aberdeen?
No, they don't have the Cup semi-final. So, Aberdeen play Kilmarnock during the week, and then they've got a free weekend.
Yeah, because of this.
Because Motherwell beat them, yes.
Yeah, Aberdeen are in a bad place. They're terrible. And I do the show with Big Marv, obviously, Livy, assistant manager, and he was telling me, he says, Daz, don't worry, they're a good side, they've got good players, everything about them, they're better than what the league position shows. No, they're not. I watched that yesterday. My goodness, their defence, Hibs just play long balls over the top of them and absolutely kill them. What about the is it you? Just ran through every one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, thinking, mate, you're a defender. Any chance you put an attack on?
That's what I was going to say. Like, how much of that is down to the manager, and how much down to that is just players just not doing their job or doing basic things?
Both, Stephen. I totally agree. I think managers take a lot of the flack, and players get away scot free, right? But when you analyse it and you look at what's going on the pitch, how the organisation is, everything about it. Listen, they had a good wee sort of a, you're thinking, right, they've got to come back again, good performance at Motherwell, and they've picked up a wee win here, and, you know, the thrash Dundee, and you're thinking, right, okay, they're off and running. I thought they were dreadful, absolutely dreadful. I'm worried for Aberdeen. I don't see how they can keep performing their way and then just think that they're going to kick into being a real good side and getting that.
The thing is, he's tweaked the formation and everything, and it was working for a wee bit. But again, like, I just think there's something about Tilleen. I know he won the Scottish Cup and stuff, but I'm just like, I don't think he's...
I don't think he's
the answer.
See if he hasn't won the Scottish Cup, I don't think he's...
No, he wouldn't be here.
You look at his past record. He went that brilliant start when he came in at first. And then all of a sudden, you look from then to here, it's been a disaster.
Yeah. Is it not something only like six wins in the league or something? So, yeah.
It's Aberdeen we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Disaster. Totally. They're no divine right, but the money they've spent, the commitment they've made,
yeah,
everything about them, They are in real trouble, Aberdeen, just now.
The game's on Saturday. Livingston 1, Motherwell 2. Motherwell eventually getting the win. There was a few VAR calls to go through. We'll get to VAR WTF in just a wee second. But Livingston are struggling, aren't they? They are struggling big time. Bottom of the league. What's Marv saying about that?
He's not coming in. He's giving it the I'm not feeling well one. He's staying well away from me. I'm sitting here every week praying that he walks through that door, especially that Livy tracksuit on. He's getting it. Listen, wee Davey will be getting off his head, losing a late goal against Motherwell. But the writing was on the wall because the Motherwell scored and they still didn't learn. They got off the hook there a little bit with the offside, and then Motherwell go back up the park and win the game. Sitting bottom of a league, it's not looking good for them, is it?
I think a lot of people were sort of saying that they thought Livingston would be all right this season.
So did
I. And a lot of experience in there, but it's just not happening for them at all, really, is it?
Yeah, and then you're looking at what they've got. They've got Hibs.
Yeah.
Next weekend. And Hibs went there before and battered them.
Yeah, they did.
And you would imagine Hibs would go and do the same to them.
No game midweek for them, but they play Hibs on Saturday.
If I was a Livy Lion, I'd be starting to worry about my team. I think your only hope is the fact that the league is so tight, right? It is just now, because you look at that, Cutley wins, all of a sudden that changes, doesn't it? Dramatically changes.
That brings us on to the next game, Dundee 93, St Mirren 1. You know, everyone's saying, oh, you know, St Mirren have had a great start to the season, Stephen Robinson doing a great job. All of a sudden, you're looking and going, it's not been great the last wee while. Dundee 93 won by 3-1, as I mentioned, so obviously turned it around. Lots of stuff to chat about in VAR WTF in terms of that. But Dundee United, on the other hand, were a wee bit slow to start the season. Obviously, a big changeover in players in the summer. But there they are sitting in fourth, only a point behind the Hibs. And looking at their couple of fixtures coming up as well, they're away to Motherwell on Wednesday night, which should be a cracker, free weekend. And then they've got Hearts at Tynecastle the week after that as well. So some big games coming up for United.
They're a funny pack, Dundee United, aren't they? I never know what I'm going to get from Dundee United. They got off to a poor start at the weekend. St Mirren get the goal. I don't know, once again, I'm highlighting goalkeeper. I don't know what it is with goalkeepers just now. I would love to go and see a goalkeeping coaching session with all these goalkeeping coaches, right? I don't know what he's doing, right? Just deal with it. Goalkeepers have got a knack now, they don't want to catch a ball.
Yeah.
It's a dying art now. You've got a pair of gloves, just catch it, right? It drives me insane. But St Mirren got off to the perfect start, but all credit. And here's another one. I like the fact that Jim makes big decision. Dolbeck, their top goals, he took him off at Ibrox at half time and changed the game, got a real good result and probably should have went on and won it. Great save with Butland late on. And then he doesn't start him at the weekend, goes one down. People might question, hold on a minute here, your top goal scorer's on the bench, you're not playing your goal scorer. But he turned it round. But one or two decisions that we'll talk about.
We'll talk about them in just a wee second. But 3-1 it finished. And finally, it was Falkirk 2, Dundee 1. A very, very fortunate result for Falkirk. I think we can all agree on that one.
Falkirk, come on, John.
Up to 6th in the table. They were up to 4th, but dropped down after Sunday's results, obviously. Dundee down to 10th. You were at the game, John. Did you feel embarrassed after the win? Sort of like stealing the 3 points for Dundee?
Listen, we'll get to it in VAR WTF.
No, it's not just that. I mean, Dundee probably should have been about 3 goals up before they scored.
Stephen, what have you watched? Have you been in some sort of parallel universe?
No,
what I saw on Saturday.
He's in my Falkirk trip on the day.
He's absolutely embarrassing himself.
We were great in the first half, but we're a second half team. We have got more points from losing positions than any other team in the league. 9 points from losing positions.
Well, when you're carrying the amount of luck that you are, it's hard not to, really.
We'll talk about VRWTF, but let's just talk about young Connor Allen's goal.
Whoa. Listen, it was a cracking goal. Obviously helped it on with his hand to start with. After getting a weird spin on the ball as well, obviously due to your dodgy effort pitch that you got.
By the way, James McFadden on Sports Scene talking shite. The spin of the ball has got nothing to do with the pitch. You get a spin like that on a grass pitch.
It's got everything to do with the pitch.
Bollocks. Absolutely.
You can see the smoke coming off it and all the rest there.
Absolute bollocks. Anyway, what a goal.
Check side. It was like a snooker ball.
Making his league debut. And to a centre half, scoring a goal like that.
I mean, shocking defending from Dundee. Dundee just let him waltz through.
Put Clark Robertson on his arse for that little stud rollover, and what a finish for the young lad. Honestly, I do lounge in Falkirk, as you know, and he's
a really, really fortunate win for Falkirk. Rubbish. Yeah, again. I mean,
I'm agreeing with John here. I'm delighted for a young boy.
Oh, totally.
What a goal. You're right.
He handles it to start,
Elvis will be sitting there now going over that with his players, saying, what is going on defending-wise? But take nothing away. I'm loving Falkirk. I had Falkirk to be relegated, right? I'm not... I still think they'll be down there, right? Because there's still a long way to go.
Well, they can't keep being as fortunate as they are.
I'm loving them. I think they're brilliant. I think the manager, everything about them. You're right, John. It's all about 90-odd minutes. It's not just the first 45. And showing great character.
And,
well done.
And when you're getting the amount of refereeing decisions that they have, then, you know...
We'll get into it, Stephen.
You can only sort of do so much. Right, let's get to the championship then. Airdrie finally get their first win of the season after sacking Danny Lennon during the weekend. It was against Inform Arbroath as well. So Airdrie win by 1-0. Morton, the draw specialist, getting absolutely battered by St Johnstone by 4-0. So St Johnstone extend their lead at the top. Fairly comfortable victory. St Johnstone were needing to bounce back after a few sticky weeks. They hadn't won in, what, 4 or 5 or whatever it was.
Did that game wrapped up after 20 minutes?
Aye, exactly, yeah. So they came out, blitzed Morton and won by 4-0. Goalless between Queen's Park and Ayr United. Good point for Queen's Park, though, because they played a lot of that match with 10 men. Ayr United played them firmly on Friday night as well.
Elsewhere, 3 points for an honest man.
Well, I wouldn't think so. Elsewhere, Raith Rovers bouncing back after 3 2-0 defeats in a row by getting their own 2-0 victory of themselves. So against Partick Thistle on Saturday, and obviously Thistle, that's their first defeat since the start of the season. It's all falling to shit for Mark Wilson.
He'll be in here next Thursday.
I was going to say he'll be back in the studio very, very soon. But yeah, you know, they were on a good run there. They had to get beat at some point, and just unfortunate it was against Raith Rovers. Elsewhere, it was Ross County 3, Dunfermline 2. Neil Lennon was not a happy man after the game, absolutely spearing the referee for some very dodgy decisions, very bad decisions.
Why is
if you've watched the highlights.
Right, why is it every time a team gets beat, the first thing a manager does...
You've seen the decisions. They're so bad. They're the opposite of what Falkirk are getting at the moment.
Not a chance. You were 2-0 down. You were...
Got back to 2-2.
I know, but you lost the third goal, so...
From a free kick that was never a free kick.
It was a stonewaller,
here
John.
Here he goes. Oh, the tears are coming out. Oh,
No, it's fine.
Oh, the referee have done us.
They'll be lucky to be in the top six, Dunfermline.
That's okay. Stephen's quite happy with sixth position this year.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
Playoffs?
The quest for six continues, Stephen.
Well, John, you're just making that up. I said we'd get in the playoffs.
Did you? I thought you were quite happy with sixth position. You know, as long as it's an improvement from last season's seventh, you know.
No. I think, did we finish seventh? I thought we finished sixth last year.
Did you finish sixth?
John,
did you?
I think we finished sixth last year. In the end. And
well done, you. Congratulations. Sorry, I'm wrong.
I think
your sixth position in the championship.
We've
Stephen.
Played Ross
Congratulations.
County.
Congratulations.
We've played Ross County twice this season. And drew with them at East End, should have beat them and should have got something on Saturday. So annoying.
Should have, would have, could have.
Right, Hamilton, the crisis team, losing at the weekend to Queen of the South by 2-1. So as I mentioned, Hamilton getting a 6 points deduction. That puts them down into seventh place, and Queen of the South leap above them into sixth place. It's all looking very tight in League One from about six upwards, I would say, only 5 points. And it's Stenhouse Muir, top of the shop. And goalless draw against local rivals Alloa, just up the road. That's not a derby, but it's kind of like it's just up the road. Fourth Valley, yeah. Kelty Hearts in the Fife derby lost by 3-0 against Dick Campbell's East Fife. So problems continue at Kelty. They're still only 4 points adrift from Montrose, though. But Cove got their first win of the season, 3-0 against Montrose. Montrose are struggling as well, but Cove finally get that win, and Inverness headed along the A96 to Peterhead and won by 1-0. So that keeps them in contention at the top. Right, there are about 5 million results in the Scottish Cup, but wins for Auchinleck, Banks of Dee, Brechin through the next round to play Kelly, actually. Still an Albion through against Caledonian Braves. There was no real shocks, John. I don't think there was any sort of big ones.
No, all the SPFL teams stayed in the competition apart from the ones that were playing each other. But I think, you know, East Kilbride will be a bit gutted to go out the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, got beat with Spartans on Saturday.
They play them next week.
They play them next week in the league. So, yeah, big week. Elgin City beat Devon Vale as well. Edinburgh City made it through. Dumbarton through. Bonnyrigg through as well. Dunfermline drew Queen of the South at home. In the cup. I was looking at the draw. It wasn't.
You worried about that one?
Not in the slightest.
Come on. Give them a shout out. What? Are you coming to it? The Bankies.
Who are Clyde Bank playing?
They get through.
They did get through, but yeah. I'm trying to think who they
play. The local team. Well done. The paper hankies.
I'm trying to think. I can't see the result.
I think they won 2-1, 3-1 at home.
They won 3-1 against East Stirling.
Yeah. That's it. East Stirling.
Clyde Bank through the next round.
Team.
Well done. There are no pointless teams and no winless teams, John. So that feature is now dead. So there it is, it's gone. So we'll get straight on with some refereeing decisions, shall we? Let's get to that. Right, let's start Dundee United St Mirren. The keeper picking up the ball, George. We were just chatting about it as we were walking through.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was outside the box and it was clear. But you didn't think so.
I thought that was very tight. I was surprised when I seen it given.
Yeah. And then obviously Dundee United scored for the free kick as well. It was a good goal.
Don't use that word, Gordon. Don't use your word.
And then the big talking point, Alex Gogic, penalty, red card.
Right, he's one of my... I always see Alex at the... I always chat with him because we go and pick up... I pick up my grandkid and he picks up his kids at the school. He's a brilliant lad, great lad. He's been brilliant for St Mirren. Look, when I watched it at the beginning, I'm thinking, what is the referee giving here? But it does look a bit naughty, doesn't it?
I was exactly the same. First viewing, I was like, oh, I think that's... I mean, the game's gone. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh no, he's got that one right. I think it's a penalty and a red card.
As much as I like the lad, I'm going to agree. I thought John Beaton got that right.
Falkirk, Dundee. Amazing how you've written this, by the way. Hamilton and Wilson come together. Dundee looking for a penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, an absolute stonewaller. Dundee should have had. To put into context, that would have been Dundee 2-0 up and probably Falkirk down to 10 men as well, because the boy was on a booking. So, John, enlighten me to which angle you've seen that changes your mind here.
The one with his eyes closed.
More rubbish from Sports Scene. I'm going to tell you why it wasn't a penalty. It wasn't a penalty because if you see it from, and I've seen it from this angle behind, and I don't know if this is the VAR angle that they've seen, Jack Hamilton goes in with his studs, right? High with his studs. And that is why he is booked. Now, he is booked, and that incident happens before Kyrell Wilson has the foul. And it is a foul, but it doesn't matter because the incident with Jack Wilson going in high in with his studs showing is a bookable offence and therefore it is inconsequential what happens after it.
Bullshit. So, no, bullshit.
I will tell you right bullshit. Now, Stephen Mill, in Gordon Duncan's Willie show that he does once a month with Willie Collum.
Gordon Duncan's Willie show.
Gordon Duncan's Willie show. He will.
You need a VPN for that now, John.
but Gordon Duncan's Willie show. They will come out and say the VAR team got it.
Well, they're absolutely incorrect.
I guarantee it,
John.
He makes a good case.
Be serious here. If that was at the other end, would you be saying that?
No.
No comment.
Exactly. It was a stonewall penalty.
I will tell you that Willie will rule.
Well, Willie's wrong. Willie's wrong.
Willie's right.
Willie shouldn't have been in charge of refereeing if he thinks that, because that is a ludicrous decision.
We will wait and see.
That would have completely changed the way the game went.
Anyway, let's talk more about Conor Allen's goal now, shall we?
Yeah.
Obviously a handball for Conor Allen's goal.
It was never a handball.
The ball spins round on the dodgy plastic pitch, and then he catches. He was like fucking Michael Jordan, and then spins it round, and then the Dundee defence just let him through. So yeah, I think Falkirk got away with one there. Elsewhere, Livingston Motherwell. So the penalty for Livingston, fairly. I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
no problem.
The worst
there.
Decision in Scottish football happened at that game.
The handball.
How does Motherwell get a penalty for that?
I thought it was a handball. I thought it was a handball.
That's the biggest embarrassment I've ever seen in my life. Somebody needs to tell me what he was trying to do. Was he trying to shoulder it?
I don't know. Wait. I mean, it was just, what's he, like, again, he did what we're going to call a Connor Allen, right? Yeah. What he did was, he just hit the ball, and I was like,
I wonder if they noticed that.
As soon as he did it, and as soon as the whistle went, he was like, oh, shit.
That was incredible. I would have loved to have sat down and says to him, what were you thinking there? What was going through your mind here?
I can't wait till Marv's back on Tuesday, Daz. You can ask him then, because goodness knows what was going through his head.
Just ludicrous. Then the goal ruled offside. Now, at first view, and you're like, eyes offside. But then when you see it, I don't know if they got this one right. It was very tight. I was trying to look at the lines on the pitch, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think you can tell. I honestly don't think you can tell whether he's offside or not. So therefore, allow the goal.
Give the advantage.
Give the goal.
Yeah.
I think it was... Now, obviously, it didn't matter in the end. Motherwell won. But if that had cost them 3 points, right. I'd have been fuming.
The only thing I'll say about that
if I was a Motherwell fan.
Right. The only thing I'll say about that is they didn't celebrate the goal with the players.
But it was one of those ones because it happened so quickly. But then when you slow it down, I think
when you're in that position, you've got a fair idea. As much as I agree, it was tight, but I think you've got a fair idea if you're actually in the position and you're watching everything that's happening. I think you've got a wee fair idea because you're thinking if that's so tight and you're thinking it wasn't offside. They'd be a wee celebrating.
Yeah. No, I get that. But, aye. Right. Aberdeen. Phil and Armstrong ahead of Caligi's goal. Do you think there was anything in that?
Not really. I just think Aberdeen got what they deserved. They were really poor.
Josh Campbell goal ruled out for offside. He was offside.
He was offside. That was a worrying sign, what I'm saying about one ball over the top. Aberdeen need to get that, address that.
In the Rangers game, Raskan got a goal chopped off for offside.
Yes. Yeah, that was tight, but it was the right decision.
And then in the Hearts Celtic game, obviously, Steve McLean gave the penalty anyway for the foul that Dane Murray was on Braga. Can't remember. But anyway, it was a foul. First time I saw it, I thought he went down really dramatically.
Yes, he did.
And I was like, oh, I'd like to see this again. As soon as you see it again, it's a penalty. It's a stupid challenge.
Yeah, and even if you want to. There's no argument because you look at Murray as well. He knows that he's went in. Oh, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
it's just a young boy making a rash decision. Like he panicked with the own goal and he panicked with the defending. And yeah, Braga does quite rightly so. Listen, he's been touched. He's down. Penalty kick. Game over.
Yeah, so a pretty decent weekend for VAR, obviously, apart from the howler at the Falkirk Stadium. So, that is VAR WTF. Let's move on with Who Dares Win, shall we? So, last week, if you caught this, it was players over the age of 37 to have scored since the year 2000 in the Scottish top flight. And the amount of people who messaged me and went, Kenny fucking Miller. And I was like, I know.
It's hard when you're on the spot.
So we're going to have something similar this week. I slipped up last week, so you get the point, Daz. And John has the topic for this week. It's you to start the bidding first this week, Daz.
Okay, guys, a lot of sackings have been happening this season, but there are 10 managers in the SPFL who have managed their team for over 1,000 days. How many of them can you name, Gordon DL?
Over 1,000 days.
10 managers have managed.
Why not just say months or years?
Well, 1,000 days is 3 years. Or no, quite 3 years. So think about that.
Yeah, I've got the exact facts here, Daz. So it's over 1,000 days.
1,000 days. Yeah. And they've managed.
There's 10 of them. How many do you think you can get?
In the Premier League?
No, in the SPFL.
Full four divisions.
Oh, I'll get one. No. I'll go off. I think I could go five there.
Oh, really? Oh,
five?
Yeah.
Stephen Mill, come on. You know your lower league stuff, Stephen.
Mm.
I'll go six.
Ooh. Go! I wasn't getting five.
Right.
Oh, I shit myself.
Stephen Mill.
Right.
Right, you've got 10 to get.
Stuart Petrie.
Stuart Petrie.
Oh, nice one.
Got at him. Montrose. 3,249 days.
John McGlynn.
John McGlynn at Falkirk.
Yeah.
1,272 days.
Right.
He's getting harder now. Oh, there's an easy one there, mate. Come on.
What do you mean, an easy one?
Ah, there's one staring at you.
What do you mean? What, in the Premiership?
Aye.
Don't give him any help, Daz.
His assistant's on this show.
Oh, for goodness sake, Daz.
What do you mean?
Listen, he's not getting six, John, so I'm helping him out.
There's a couple who I'm a wee bit teetery with. I'll go Jim Goodwin.
Jim Goodwin?
Yeah.
Why did you not go David Martindale?
Jim Goodwin is just out by about 30 days or something like that.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Oh my God, Stephen, that is terrible from you, by the way.
What part of David Martindale did you not get there?
I was like, his assistant's on the show. I was like, Alex, Mark Wilson's not been there. I don't know why I thought Alex Ray.
Right, okay, I'll run through.
Right, no, let me have it.
Right, okay,
so
okay.
So, therefore,
Dick Campbell won.
Rogers?
Rogers.
Dick Campbell?
Nah. Paul Hartley?
Oh, good shout.
He's actually the 10th on the list, 1,026 days.
That's a great shout.
Who else? We can get them between us. Let's go through. So, in terms of the... Let me look at the leagues.
You've not got the top name on the list. 4,892 days, and you don't have him.
Well, I said Stuart Petrie. So
no,
I thought,
he's 3,249. He's second on the list.
It's nobody in the championship. So, John Rankin?
John Rankin is on the list, but 1,220.
Gary Naismith?
Yeah.
Just in over 1,000 days at 1,028 days.
Who else have we got?
Who's Edinburgh City's manager?
No, it's not him.
No,
it's
Michael McKendall, not.
Yeah. No.
Is it somebody? Is it the boy for Spartans?
It is the boy for Spartans. Dougie Samuels, yeah. He's 4,892 days, over 10 years, Dougie's been in that job.
Right. How long's. No, it's no East Kilbride. It's no Clyde. Stirling, that? No. Forfar's Jim Weir, not. Annan's, but Willie Gibson?
No.
No Cooney South, that's for sure.
Elgin. Is the boy not been at Elgin for ages?
No, they changed managers last season.
Stranraer?
No.
Annan?
Have we just got to get through the fault to put us on?
I don't know, John.
Okay, right. The last three that you're missing are at Dumbarton, Stevie Farrell, 1,611.
I said Dumbarton
days.
There.
Did you see Dumbarton? Yeah, okay. Dumbarton. You didn't see the manager, though. Doogie Emery, 1,460.
Oh, I would have never said
and
Doogie
the final
Emery.
Name in the list in the Premiership.
Don't tell us. In the Premiership?
Aye.
Hold on. Don't tell us, please.
Jimmy Tilleen?
Ah.
Stevie Robinson.
Aye.
Oh,
that's your 10 over 1,000 days. But well done, Daz. You got the point.
He
shattered there.
He did. He did.
Right, let's unveil a footballer, shall we? Or try to.
Who are you?
Do you like the Masked Singer?
Yeah.
Aye, that one of your shows.
I love it.
Would you go on it if you were asked?
Yeah.
We've discussed this. You can hold a tune.
I'm all right. I got it. Yeah,
right, you can go on it.
Imagine that, Gordon Dale in the Masked Singer. What do you think you would dress him up as? Because you know,
right.
All have
something you do with my nose, isn't it? Okay,
like
an elephant.
Nose.
here comes the elephant with a big trunk. Oh, don't even want to hear him singing it. <DL.
laughs> Right. We have a mystery footballer. We know they haven't played for Celtic or Rangers. They're no longer playing. They haven't been a football manager. Don't work in the media. They haven't had an international cap for Scotland. However, they have played for Hearts, and he hasn't won the Scottish Cup. So what do we want to ask him today?
Right.
Are we going with your new rules, Stephen, where we get a yes? Right.
What have we asked him again? He plays with Hibs.
No, he plays with Hearts. Played with Hearts, but he's never won the Scottish Cup with them. So
and he's never been capped.
And he's never been capped.
And so, he's never been a manager.
Yeah.
And he's never worked in media.
No. So we don't know what this man does.
Well, the media one's a hard one to answer. Because, but he's not prevalent for what we're
right,
saying.
Okay,
media,
you're not.
So, I mean, he maybe has, and I've just not seen him.
Right, okay. So that's your arse covered there, John.
Thanks.
Satan, would you agree you're quite a boring shit?
aye.
Right, come on, Stephen.
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
what about... Was he a...
Oh, yeah, we can do a position.
Yeah. Forward goalkeeper. It's either a goalkeeper or a forward. It always is.
Right, okay. We'll go forward then.
Yeah, but I think it's a goalie. But go forward.
Okay. Now, mass football.
Now, hold on.
What?
A forward.
Oh.
Because, well, let's just define in the park, just so we're all very clear on this. There's a goalkeeper, defender, midfielder, or a forward, yeah? Because midfielders can be, in the modern day game, midfielders can be forwards, forwards can be midfield. You know what I mean?
Right, so he's no goalkeeper.
Let's define it as a goalkeeper, a defender, a midfielder, or a forward.
Why don't we just ask that mental, like, have you got any tattoos?
All right, hold on. I'm going to have to go deeper diving.
Yeah,
as opposed to his Wikipedia page.
What's your nickname?
Oh, no, hold on. Right, okay.
Well, we go with that. Or we'll go. do you want to say goalkeeper?
No, because the way John jumped in there, he's obviously not a goalkeeper.
Right, that's. I thought the same.
Right, so.
But he could be a midfielder.
Aye, because John was trying to divine midfield or forward. Yeah. So, midfielder.
A mass footballer, were you a midfielder?
Aye.
How easy to read, John.
right. So we're looking for a Hearts midfielder.
Is this according to his Wikipedia, by the way? I wasn't convinced he was a midfielder, but according to his Wikipedia, he was an attacking midfielder.
Okay.
I didn't see him there.
What about...
That's a clue, by the way.
I don't know.
How long did you say he'd been retired? Did we get that? No.
No, well, it has to be an aye or no, because he's only an aye or no. So
he is retired, didn't he?
Or we could say, have you retired in the last 10
years?
Yes.
I'm going to have to look into this as well.
honestly, this is.
Other questions are baffling
I'm
you.
I've got a question.
Did you play for more than one Scottish club? More clubs than Hearts?
Aye.
Right, okay, that's fine. Right. So he wasn't like, you know, Gary Locke. For example, he only played
for Hearts.
I think so, anyway.
Did he? You sure?
Yeah, I think
so. Did Gary Locke? I know he managed Kilmarnock. Did he play with Kilmarnock?
Oh, shit, he played with Kilmarnock. So, yeah, that's a fucking stupid answer.
Yeah.
He played with Bradford as well. So that was a terrible answer. Terrible example.
You're looking at Gary Mackay. Guys like that.
Gary Mackay, did he only play with... Oh, he played with Airdrie or something, did he not?
Yeah.
He finished his career.
So it's not Gary Mackay.
It's not Gary Mackay.
Right.
Well,
so,
it could be Gary Mackay.
Aye, because he played with it. But it's not got to be.
What about... have you retired in the last 10 years?
10 years, right.
Mass footballer, have you retired in the last decade?
No.
So he's older. Okay. So he retired pre-2015. That's what
Who
we
said
know.
He's retired?
Oh.
You said he was no longer playing.
I did not say that.
Oh, come on. You've thrown us off here.
I did not say that.
We know that they haven't played for the Old Firm and are no longer playing.
What part is that? Not getting you, John.
Did I say that? Well, I've done some...
It's written down in front of me, John.
I've had to do some deep dive research, right?
Uh-huh.
And according to Transfermarkt, and I didn't realise this, but... He looks like he is still playing, though. He hasn't.
You're a shite bag.
He hasn't.
John, no, every week supersede yourself.
This is a hard one for me because it will all become apparent when it comes out. But yeah, I think he's still registered as a player.
Aye.
Yeah.
Right, so.
I think he must still be registered as a player even though he doesn't play. Because I've had to do some severe deep diving here.
So he's a player. He's like a player coach manager. So
I think he must be. He
player
must
coach.
Be, he must be.
Who's a
player coach?
Who's
an old player coach?
Who's an assistant manager?
Let you keep going since I messed up there. Right, you can have another question. Go on.
Yeah, well, we say like is the team in Scotland that he's still playing with?
Yes.
Like in the SPFL.
You can ask that question.
Yeah.
Is the team that this person is maybe playing with still in the SPFL?
No.
Right. Well, there you go. That was a great question, Stephen. Well done.
Yeah.
Fuck off, John.
Can't wait to hear who this is.
Right.
Probably haven't even played with fucking Hearts.
Keeps you. keep your shouts coming in on YouTube and at Big Football Scott as well. We'll finish off with a quiz, shall we? Let's do it. Thank you very much. Let's get the boards and it's a shootout quiz. It's me versus Gordon DL. It's five questions. Both get the same question. If you want to go for a top bin, either myself or Gordon will have to flag that before the question is asked. And that is worth 2 points. I pumped you last week and it was great.
I'm going back to my favourite word. I'm shit at this.
Yeah. I mean,
right, it's a Monday. There's nobody in their right mind at this time.
Well, that's, you need to get yourself up for these things.
Right, come on, let's hear it.
Right, John, okay. Question number one.
There we go, right. Question number one. Name any Scottish international Danny Rule managed at Sheffield Wednesday.
Right.
Oh, he's done?
Yep,
done.
You can show your answer first, Daz.
Yep.
Barry Bannon.
Stephen.
Barry Bannon.
That's a goal!
You could have had Callum Patterson as well. There you go. Right, okay, so next question. Who is the longest serving manager at a Scottish Premiership club? Who is the longest serving manager at a Scottish Premiership club?
I mean, if it's not this person... Why would you put that question in,
I know,
given
just,
what we've just
I've
done?
I've just realised what I've done there.
Fucking hell, John. Even be your standards.
Listen,
today.
The internet was down in Larbra all weekend.
The internet's always down in Larbra.
I'm winging it.
Right.
All right.
Okay, right.
Okay,
you happy?
Martindale.
Right, okay.
I've also
go,
gone
right.
for David Martindale.
Right, there you go. Right, 2-2. Right. It's your favourite, Stephen. It's a time for a say what you see. Now,
shout at these.
Daz.
Oh, no. What?
I'll explain what's going to happen. Behind you on the screen, an image is about to appear. That image is made up of pictures which lead to a Scottish footballer.
Oh,
okay?
France.
You've just got to think, you know, you've done these before on Super Scoreboard, Gordon. You know what you're doing here. Dead easy, this one.
Right,
I think
you'll
get
go
it straight
with.
Away. Right? Okay, so here comes your image. And your time starts now.
No, I've got it.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't know any Gene.
So on, there's a pair of jeans, a contract, and what looks like a key. What on the screen?
I was going to say Lee Wilson, but it's, I don't even know who Lee Wilson is. Is it Lee?
Oh, I can't answer. Right, I'll give you. Get an answer then. Just write anything then.
Oh! Lee Wilkie.
You big jammy bastard.
Well done!
I've also gone for Lee Wilkie.
Well done, Stephen. It was Lee.
It was very generous of me.
So a pair of Lee jeans and then a key. So Lee Wilkie.
Oh, Jesus, I was panicking there.
Right.
Is this four each?
Three each.
Okay.
High scoring affair.
You don't actually need the timer for this run. In fact, you do. Right. Here's your here's your next question. Celtic striker Iheanacho. Spell his name. What's his surname? Spell Iheanacho. Go on. Write it down. Let's see your spellings of Iheanacho.
That's not right. That's not right. There's a G in there.
Is there a G in there?
Is there a G in there?
I don't know, Stephen. Is there a G in there? Kelechi Iheanacho. How would you spell Iheanacho?
Oh, no. I'm as thick as shite when it comes to that.
3-3. Right, Stephen, unveil your board. What is that?
Now, is there a G in it?
For the people listening... Spell that out, Stephen.
I-N-E-G-E Nacho.
Miles out. Gordon DL, what have you written down?
Right, I've went I-N-H-E-E-A-C-H-O.
And Marshall has saved!
The correct spelling of Iheanacho is I-H-E-A-N-A-C-H-O.
You are better than me. You are better than me.
There we go. So well done. 3-3 stairs. This is it. Decisive question coming up here, boys. Unless one of you's put the other person under pressure and go for your top bin.
It's worth 2 points, but it's a harder question.
You're good at it. Go.
No, I'm
Let's
I'm
see a bit of strength off you.
No.
Come on, you're leading the quiz anyway.
No, it's fine.
If you've got anything about you, come on, I bout you your knowledge. I would be really Cotton. Impressed with you. I would watch it again.
Daz.
I'll go home the night and watch it in my bed.
Daz, I've listened to what you've said there. But
please
you
do it.
Absolutely.
I'll tell everybody. I'll be on my phone all the way to the golf course.
Take a fuck to yourself.
Okay. Right, go, John.
Right, you just go for the normal question. Yeah. Right, it's nice and easy, actually. How many managers have Airdrie had this season? Full-time managers.
Airdrie?
Yeah.
I can't think of the last one after Danny. I think I'm wrong here. Right, come on.
Right, okay. Are you written something down, Dad?
Yeah.
Stephen, you got some written down? Okay, what's up with the timer then? Right, what have you written down? Gordon Dale.
3 or 2. Right, so what are you going for?
What are you going for?
I'm going 3.
Going 3.
Okay,
Stephen,
I'm going
2. It's 2.
Stephen Mill.
Yeah.
You've went 3, Daz.
Yeah.
You've went 2, Stephen.
It's 2, isn't it?
Stephen.
Yeah.
Full time manager, Reese McCabe and Danny Lennon.
It was 2.
Still to appoint a manager, so it is 2.
It was 2. It was too easy, mate.
It was too easy.
I know.
He's done you.
I get wheeled into that. I was stupid. Get. That's shite!
Right, there we are. Another one. 8-5. Racking up the
Get
victories.
Big Stevie back quickly.
I know. Right, thank you very much for supporting me in the quiz against a formidable foe today, actually. That was a high
score. I should have had a draw.
4-3. It was a high-scoring game in the quiz. And that's what we like to see. Plenty of goals, plenty of correct answers. But Gordon DL needs to go and play golf now. So, John, if you can play the final outstab, that would be amazing. So, that is it for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. We are back next week with another episode for you. Obviously, lots of stuff happening this week. Big midweek fixture card. You'll hear all the build-up. You can have your say, of course, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Daz will be back Tuesday and Thursday taking your calls alongside the guys on 0141 951 1025. And remember, subscribe to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard channel if you want to see it live and in action as well every single night from 6 o'clock. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And we'll be back next week. Help us out with the Mass Footballer as well. Get in touch on YouTube. Leave your comments, leave your questions there as well. From Gordon, myself, Sweaty Octopus. We'll catch you then. Cheers. Bye-bye.